When you do something that is shocking to your system, you remember it. The first time you get burned, you accidentally touch the stove. I remember my case was the cigarette lighters in a car. Remember those? You push them in and they pop out. And I was sitting in my mom's car one day, and I think she was going into the gas station or something, and I pushed it in. This is like 1988. What does this button do? Pushed it, pops back out. And if you take it out, there's hot coils on there. And I didn't know that the red was hot. I didn't know what this thing even did. My parents didn't smoke, so it was never a item that was used. I stuck my little finger on it and, oh God, did I remember that? It's a shocking experience. You never forget it. It's etched into your brain forever. I can remember like that was yesterday, and that was 1988. Same sort of thing is true of when you come face to face with a spirit or a ghost or something very, very dark. I'm not talking you hear some knocking or something, you know, that's definitely interesting, but not traumatic. Traumatic being you're walking down the hall and boom, there's someone right there, and then they're not. Or someone or something starts to try and take over your body, yourself. You don't know what or why it's there. Those are things you will never forget. We have two stories of that on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Group of friends come face-to-face with a full-bodied apparition on the ground of an abandoned asylum. Then what is the definition of evil? Can it come from the actions of man, or does evil always stem from something beyond the living? We'll get into that story as well. Here on EPP bonus episode number 348 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. It's not every day that you get to see a full-bodied apparition. You know, when people think of ghosts and ghost hunting, I think quite often that's what comes to mind is you're out there and boom, you just see it. And there it is, like Ghostbusters almost in the library ghost. That's not quite how it usually goes. But in some cases, in some rare cases, it does happen. And when it happens, it can kind of change you. Even if you believe already that this stuff is real, when it's that clear to you, it's reaffirming, and it's almost kind of resets, I think, the compass a little bit for how one might look at life. That's what happens in our next story. A listener of ours out with some friends investigating an old asylum. They come face to face with what was probably one of the people who was once institutionalized there, going along their daily path from building to building. Take a listen. Hey, everybody. This is Lexus from Bellingham, Washington. I've called in three separate stories so far, all of which have made it on the air with Harper, and I'm incredibly happy and grateful to be a part of such a supportive paranormal family. I have another story that I wish to share with you about an old mental hospital, farm, and graveyard I've investigated twice now in a town about 30 minutes south of me called Cedro Woolley. I think you'll really find this one interesting. The Northern State Hospital was built over 100 years ago. With acres of farmland and old farm buildings and a cemetery nearby. While the old hospital building has sat abandoned since it was shut down in 1973, it's been closed to the public due to new renovations taking place. However, the surrounding farmland, dilapidated farm buildings, and cemetery all remain open on what's known as a public historical park. In fact, all the buildings people can access and explore from the time of the mental asylum include the following: quarry, lumber mill, barns for farm animals, cannery, milking house, and silo. The cemetery sits not far from the farm, and about a quarter and a half mile away from all these buildings, another couple of completely crumbling structures that I've yet to identify, as they're not shown in the pictures. But one is a two-story building that absolutely fascinates me. They are buried in the trees and shrubs and hard to come across unless you follow a footpath off the main recreational trail. The main reason why I attached a link to this letter is to the website so that one of my experiences occurred literally at the location shown in one of the pictures. Through the Cow Barn is what the picture is titled. The spot and angle at which this picture was taken pretty much capture the spot where I was standing at 1 a.m. in October of 2020 with two friends staring down at the yellow building at the other end of the barn. Both times that I've visited this location, my friends and I have started through the barn at the other building and have all seen a figure standing near the large doorway at the other end, his silhouette standing out against the opposing building under the moon. This was my first time ever seeing an apparition directly in front of me, clearly. And what was even more chilling was the way this figure seemed to move in and out of the entrance to the second building. One second he's outside against the wall, the next he's shrinking back into the shadows as if he's trying to hide. The major thing that stood out to me about this figure was that its body looked almost like a shaking mass when it moved. It did not walk with visible legs as normal people would, but more shimmied back and forth as it moved in and out of the buildings like it was made of smoke. Imagine a little dancing tornado body with a visible head and shoulders. Anyways, I never felt threatened by this figure. I always felt as though it was a former resident of the asylum that was continuing his work at the farm. I plan to return with a voice recorder and a true investigator friend of mine to try and contact this individual one day, as I'm a little reluctant to attempt this on my own. The second night that we were there, we decided to walk through the building where this figure kept disappearing to. It felt as if all the hair on my body was standing up on end. Keep in mind, I'm a 28-year-old female dragging two guys along about my age who you think would be there to protect me. Nope. Most of the nights, the two nights we were there, I was the one always leading the pack and keeping them from running off on me when things got spooky. Another thing about that building is the lights that we would see glowing inside the windows as we walked lengthwise along the outside. It was obvious that they were not flashlights, as they seemed to glow and stand alone, slowly moving through the structure and changing colors from blue to green to white. We were unable to capture these balls of light on the camera. My friend was able to snap a picture of what appeared to be an arm reaching out the side of the doorway. Again, we walked through the building with flashlights to ensure nobody was there. We were alone. After exploring all the buildings, my group of three decided to walk through the trails of the recreation area to find the old hospital, which we found out later was inaccessible. Most of the trails are surrounded by fields and bushes with masses of trees here and there as you go. As we walked along the trails and through the trees where a frisbee golf course had been set up, we all started to see the feeling of being watched. As we traveled along and on foot, it intensified to the point where we were all looking over our shoulder and trying not to fall behind each other. I gave the guys pep talks to slow down their pace and to ignore the feeling, and as I was, we suddenly heard what sounded like a conversation going on to our right, out in the field. We stopped and listened. And I kid you not, as we all stood there staring out into the field that was lit up by the moon, trying to see anyone or anything in the 2-foot-tall grass, we heard what sounded like 2 or 3 sets of voices conversing with each other about 50 yards out. At first, we thought that maybe the voices were being carried from down the trail by another group of people, but it was hard for us to convince ourselves of that as we were alone at the park at nearly 2 a.m. and there was absolutely no wind that night. Unable to figure that one out, we decided to cut through a trail in the trees to circle back to the farm and visit the cemetery. As we were walking through the shadowy trail, we all immediately began to feel a sense of panic, and I noticed that we all began to almost jog at the same time. Again, I slowed us all down and told the other two not to feed into their fear and linked arms with them, with me in the middle, and told them just to keep with me. We kept walking and finally made it out of the trees and back to the main trail, and we all looked at each other and asked if anybody else had heard the footsteps following us. I reluctantly said that I had, as it had sounded as if there was a fourth person following us along the path not far behind. We'd all looked back once or twice and each time saw nothing. I learned later that this was the path that the patients had taken from the hospital to work on the farm so many years ago. The final part of my story ends in the cemetery, which sadly was mostly a large fenced-in lawn with very few crumbling stone markers. It's believed that most of the cemetery consists of unmarked graves with hundreds of bodies laid underneath without markers or headstones. When we arrived in the cemetery, I had a weird desire to lay on my back in the grass and meditate. I think maybe it was my way of just quieting my thoughts and taking a moment of silence for those lying forgotten beneath me. After some time, my friends got cold and said they were ready to head back to the car and head home. One of them took my hands, important detail, and gently pulled me up. We walked 10 to 15 minutes back to the car. It was almost 3 a.m. at this point, and we were all drained from the exciting night. The next evening, I went to my parents' house for a Sunday family dinner. I was in the kitchen helping my parents cook when my sister suddenly stopped the conversation we were having and pulled up my t-shirt sleeves, exclaiming, "What on earth are those?" She sounded almost angry. So I stepped away from the stove and asked, "What?" She then lifted my arm above my head and pointed, showing my parents a series of finger-like bruises on the bottom of my upper arm, near my armpit. My family immediately started asking me if I had been grabbed, and I knew right away that they were worried I had been mistreated. I could not really see the bruises, so I went over to the mirror in the dining room and lifted my arm to look, and sure enough, there were random bruises that did indeed look like fingerprints all over my upper arm. Thought I was unable to explain where they had come from. Keep in mind, I have been through physical abuse before and will never let anyone touch or grab me ever now. So the bruising absolutely made no sense to me either. My sister even tried to match her hands and fingers up with the bruises. We were unable to make the pattern match any sort of hold she put on me. And that's going to wrap up the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest of what happens, become a supporter of our show, go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Sign up to be an EPP. Get access to the rest of this episode, all 348 bonus episodes, our advanced episodes, and our entire archive of episodes, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. In our ebook and audiobook, I give that to you too as well for free. So please do that. Support us, keep us on the air, and get all that stuff. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm going to leave you with this one today. It's a song I just found the other day. If you're an adult who was a child of the 90s and you remember listening to things like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and John Mayer and all that on the radio back in those days, I heard this song from an independent artist the other day and thought, that's a really good song. Probably would have been a hit back then. He's an independent artist. His name's Ethan DeFault. The song is called California. Check it out.
7:35 at night. Road trip down to the coast. Stereo on high. A vibe in your bleached denim shirts. A couple days of summer there. A sunscreen.
Could we?
just one night. Let's go back.